This is Doug Miller. The enemy, Satan, is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And don't you forget it. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and once again, it is our privilege to be with you, to be able to talk to you from this blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God, and the very expression of our Lord Jesus Christ. So bring your Bibles. Come along. We are going to take it up in the 22nd chapter of Job today. And call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out, with the confident expectation and assurance that this word will change lives. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to be involved in a ministry like this, because it's not the sort of thing that I have to worry and stew and fret about. My business is to give this word out. God's business is to fulfill his promise that it will not return to him void, and God will see to it that that is exactly what will happen. This word will cut toward salvation. It's a two-edged sword, isn't it? It'll cut toward salvation, or it will cut toward condemnation. And in the latter day, the Lord Jesus said, he that rejects me and doesn't receive my word has one that judges him. The very word that I've spoken will judge him in that last day. For those of you who are listening to me and you're not saved and you don't intend to be saved, you'd be better off to turn this radio off right now. Because a day is coming when you will stand before the Lord. And one of the questions that you will have to answer is, what did you do with that word? Don't tell me you didn't hear it. It was there. You are better off never to have heard this than to have heard and rejected. But I digress. Let's go on to other things. Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And to that end, we require the assistance of our listeners and interested parties. Dialogue's a faith ministry. We cannot exist and go on and do what the Lord has called us to do without the support and help of the Lord's people. And therefore, I beg you, as I always do, to pray for Dialogue. Write us down on your prayer list. Take us before the Lord and pray that we will continue to fulfill this ministry, that our words will go out with power, and that people will be saved and this ministry be expanded. Pray for Dialogue. Tell others about us. You're the only advertisers we have. And that we're going to have. We are strictly supported by the Lord's people and advertised by word of mouth from people. So tell others about us. And we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you wish to email, it's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull down our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? And finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, that's permissible too. Phone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's area code 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording and I'll get back with you. Okay. You know, I began by saying the devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. There are individuals out there right now, even as I speak, who are worshiping the devil and the Church of Satan and so on and so forth. This one has got me. Why would anyone go to those lengths? About all I can say is, if you are not saved, you are in the hands of the enemy, even though you wouldn't worship the enemy, maybe. But you're in the hands of the enemy. And he is a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and his business is to keep you in darkness and in ignorance, and to keep you from ever coming to Christ. And to that end, he'll do what he can do. And his main tool, initially at least, is going to be deception and lies and half-truths. Half-truth. Oh, I'm not so bad. I'm a pretty good guy. I pay my taxes. I don't beat my wife. I'm kind to my children. I try to keep the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount and be a good neighbor and so on and so forth. It doesn't matter, friend. You are either born again or you are lost. And if you are lost, all of the morality you can muster up is not going to get you into heaven. Lie and half-truth. Well, you know, I think God will take my sincerity and count that, and I'll get into heaven somehow because I am sincere. Lie and half-truth. I don't know that any of this is really true anyway. I mean, it's an interesting book, and so on and so on. Lie and half-truth. This is what the enemy specializes in. And I want you, we're going to look at the 22nd chapter of Job this time. We've been just kind of leapfrogging through Job. These guys, the Job's comforters, his friends, are so predictable and so, you know, they're like one-note Johnnies. But in chapter 22, Eliphaz finally throws down the gauntlet and gets to the point of saying exactly what he's wanted to say all along. He kind of built up to it. Lie and half-truth. Look at the name Eliphaz the Temanite. And the name Eliphaz, as we saw a long time ago, a month or so ago when we first started this book, the name Eliphaz means something like God is strong. Or maybe, perhaps, God is gold. This is Eliphaz the Temanite. And here he is, and he is finally going to get right down to saying, as I said, what he thought. Now let me ask you this. Why would a man with God in his name be saying these kind of things which are absolute lies? Why would he do that? Well, as you've probably heard me say on here before, when the devil came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he didn't come as an unbeliever. Oh, no, nothing of the sort. He came as merely asking a question. Hath God said, thou shalt not eat of all the trees of the garden? Merely a question. Well, of course, later on, just a few verses later, he calls God a liar, but that's not his initial approach. Here's a man with the name of God as his very name. And he is a man who is a liar, and he is vicious and hateful, and he is taking the hand or the place and the part of the enemy. Let's look down at verse 5 of chapter 22. Eliphaz asks a question of Job. Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? Okay, now wait a minute. I'm not sure exactly how to take that. Well, I am too, because I have the rest of the chapter. We're going to see very shortly here how you can take this one. Now, if you say to me, look, I am a, or how about if I say it to you? I'll put it this way about myself. I say to you, I am a sinner. And my sin is the thing that separated me from God. And my sin, regardless of whether I was an Adolf Hitler, is the thing that put me at enmity with God and would have plunged me into hell for an eternity. And in that sense, I would have to answer in and of myself, yes, to this fifth verse, yes. My wickedness is great, and my iniquity, in a very real sense, is infinite. But of course, God, in his love, mercy, and grace, saw my need and my extremity and flew to my aid and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And my sin will never be brought up against me again. The Lord Jesus paid for the whole thing on Calvary and went into judgment. And praise the Lord, it's behind me. I hope all of you who are listening to me can say that. But really, in what he says in verse 5 here, that's not exactly what Eliphaz the Temanite has in mind. Look at verse 6. For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honorable man dwelleth in it. None of this is true. None of this is true. Job hasn't done these things. If you want to talk to me about my sinfulness and my wickedness and the fact that I am lost without Christ Jesus, then there's no question about that. But when you get down to actual sins, if you are really trying to help me, you're going to have to tell me what it is that I've done. I mean, if Job is being called on to repent, then he's going to have to know what it is that he's to repent of. Job can't repent of taking a pledge from the brother and stripping the naked and not giving food and bread and water to those that are hungry and weary. He hasn't done that. And therefore, the accusation here misses the mark. Job knows very well that he hasn't done this. But Eliphaz isn't through yet. Let's see what else he got to say here. In verse 9, thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. No, Job hasn't done this either. And, you're just moved to ask as you read these absolute and utter lies. Once again, and I've asked it before, but here it comes again. What is Eliphaz doing? Why is he doing this? Well, he's doing this because he is motivated by the enemy, who is the liar and who intends nothing but destruction. You know, Brother Dave Gardner said on an occasion, for those of you who are old enough to remember Brother Dave Gardner said, I believe if a man's down, kick him. If he survives it, he's better for it. He was trying to be funny. Eliphaz is not trying to be funny. Steve Allen always had one I thought was kind of cute. Steve Allen used to say, for those of you old enough to remember Steve Allen, remember, when they knock you down, kick you, step on you, they're only trying to hurt you. Steve Allen was trying to be funny. Eliphaz is not trying to be funny. It is an amazing thing that he could look Job in the eye and tell him these things. And friends, I'm not sure he did look Job in the eye. I can almost see the scene as it unfolds there, and I can see Job looking at him, and I can see Eliphaz turning his eyes away because he can't bear to look at this man whom he knows very well is not guilty of what he's saying. Or does he? Or does he? Given Eliphaz is obviously primitive understanding of God, he may have convinced himself that he's telling the truth. I don't know. Maybe he looks at Job and sees all these problems and says, well, there's only one reason for it all. I mean, we've seen this before, but with with these friends of Job. You know, you must be in wickedness of some kind. And all he's doing is flushing it out, fluffing it out. You know, look at this. Let's go on here and read some more of this. Verse 10, therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee, or darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee. Well, there's your therefore of it, you know. Little logic here, because of all these wicked things you've done. The problem is Job hasn't done them. And to think that he has misses the whole point of what this book is about. Let's go on here in verse 12. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, how does God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Well, I've never heard Job say anything like that. Job understands and knows that God does know. And that is why Job doesn't understand what he's going through. And Eliphaz does not understand God, and therefore he is able and willing to assume and to make a lie that says Job is deliberately trying to hide his wickedness from God. And Job is doing nothing of the sort. In fact, Job says in a number of places, if I could just talk to him, I could make my case. Let's go on and see what else this rather evil and wicked man has to say about Job here. He says he walketh, he's talking about God now, this is at the end of verse 14, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things. But the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous seeth it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. All right. I don't know exactly where this guy's come. Well, yes, I do, too. He is ignorant, and he is a man filled with hate. And he is not helping Job at all. Let's read some more of it here. He goes on here and says, the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumeth. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Well, come on, Eliphaz. What is Job to make of this? He has acquainted himself with God up to a point, and yet he is not at peace. He's not at peace because there are things that he yet does not know about God that he needs to know and that he must know and that God intends to show him. God's revealing himself to Job here. And it goes on and says, "There," and this is Eliphaz still now, at the end of verse 21, thereby good shall come unto thee. Well, Eliphaz, I've got news for you. Good is coming to Job. And even the trouble that Job is going through, God intends for good. Eliphaz, there's no way you can understand this, apparently. But God is working for good in Job's life. Now let's go on here and see what else Eliphaz has to say. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Well, Eliphaz, sorry about this. You are 180 out, and everything you're saying is missing the mark. Job doesn't need to return to the Almighty. Job hasn't gone anywhere. He is in the very hand of the Almighty. And he is not going out, and he doesn't intend to go out. And iniquity in his tabernacles or tents, Eliphaz, you are in a lot of trouble, and you don't know it because you're a liar. And you are testifying falsely of God. Look at verse 24. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. And then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Then shalt thou make thy prayer, or thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, rather, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Once again, at the risk of belaboring the point, this guy, you can just read it and look at the truth and see that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And yet, as I sit here and speak before you at this very time, I can look back at times in my life when I was in very difficult situations, and it was very difficult and hard, and I have had people say to me things not exactly like this, but about like this. You know, you must be outside the Lord's will. You need to search and examine yourself to see if you're in sin. Well, what made them think I hadn't? What makes anyone think that I hadn't? Look, when you are going through difficult times, you may be in evil, you may be in sin, you may be exactly where God wants you. And that's exactly where Job was right here. Look at verse 27 of chapter 22. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. I don't know quite what to say about the way this chapter ends any more than what I've said right now. But now we are down toward the end of the broadcast, and I want to say something to those of you who have listened. I've said it before, I'm saying it again. I know that Job is a dark and troubling book. I know that it is always preferable, perhaps, to hear things that are good and uplifting. I beg you, stick with us. Stay with us. You will get to the good and uplifting part, but it's going to take a little time. And in the meantime, understand what God is doing to you if you are a believer. And if you are saved, understand that everything that is happening to you, God intends for good. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it out, and at the end you will shine like gold, and you will praise the day that you ever trusted him and put yourself into his hands. For those of you who are unsaved, why don't you get saved right now? This is Doug Miller. This is Dial.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.